Okay, so the Mishnah on Beis and Aleph began with a psul of over 20 amos. Machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim say that if a sukkah's schach is over 20 amos, it is pasul. And Rabbi Yehuda argues, and he says, no, it's kosher. If it's over 20 amos, it is completely valid. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah then continues with three additional potential psulim to make a sukkah be puzzled. It says, read together, if a sukkah is not 10 tefachim tall, and if it doesn't have three walls, if it has more sunlight than shade light coming in, so psula, it is puzzled. Question to start off with. When you see this in our Mishnah, are these three other psulim, aside from the first one, agreed to by everyone? It sounds like it, right? That's what you think, right, Daniel? It seems like it. Why? Because the first, what's the diach? Why do you think that it seems like it?
There's no litigation.
There's no argument, right? Nobody argues here. Basically, we have the first psul, which we have a machlokas with. Rabbi Yehuda argues back, and Rabbi Yehuda says, nothing doing. That's not puzzle. A sukkah with schach over 20 amos is totally fine. And these other three, you would think, seemingly, are totally fine then, in terms of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Sorry, not that they're totally fine and that they're good, but Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the psul of the Chacham, of the Tanakhama. It would seem pretty pasha. And in fact, every Rishon I have seen has made this assumption. But before we work within the Rishonim, I want us to clarify why this is a good assumption. We're just starting. Join us. Okay? Go for it. I want us to clarify why this makes sense. Okay, so I know you have a deal. It sounds like he argued. But let me show you a problem with that deal, okay? The Gemara in Erevin. I didn't bring along an Erevin. Somebody have an Erevin right here? Is it Erevin? No, Erevin, sorry. I meant to bring it. Okay, great. So the Gemara in Erevin has an interesting few lines. If you have looked at the Mishnah in the first, the first Amud of Erevin, so the Mishnah, again, is very similar. It starts off with Mavo Yishehu Gavo Alamalam Asherim Ama Yimai Rabbi Yehuda Omer Enod Sara. And then the Mishnah by Mavoi, right in the beginning of Erevin, goes on with a number of other psulim. Okay, what else does it say there? It says, for example, Barachav me eser amos yimai. If it's wider than 10 amos, then you have to decrease it. Let's jump to the Gemara on Beis Amud Beis. It has other psulim as well. The Gemara on Beis Amud Beis says, asking on the middle of the discussion where it's in right now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda me pesko shel ulam gamar. Does Rabbi Yehuda really learn the height of the sukkah? Not the sukkah, the height of the korah of the mavoi from the entranceway to the ulam in the Beis Amidash? But none, varecha me eser amos yimai. Yet Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's wider than, the Mishnah says that if it's wider than 10 amos, you have to increase it. Below Palig Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue. And if it was based off of the ulam, then he should have taken the ulam's width as well. And the ulam was wider than 10 amos. So if Rabbi Yehuda was really learning from the ulam, as the Gemara at this point thinks, then not only should he be argued on the height, he should have also argued on the width. And the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, you're right. Pauling with Brysa. Yeah, he didn't argue in the Mishnah, but he does argue. He argues in a Brysa Ditani, as the Brysa teaches, Baracha me yod amos, you might, if it's less than, if it's wider than 10 amos, so you have to decrease it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eno Tzarech Lemai. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to decrease it. The Gemara then asks, but let's look with Mishnah's son, why didn't he actually argue outright in the Mishnah? And the Gemara answers, Pauling Begova, Behuah Din Larachba. He argues for the height. And the same thing he also argues with the width. He didn't speak it out. It wasn't explicit in the Mishnah. Yes, it's explicit in the Braisa, but hold on 1 second. What do you see from this Gemara in Erevin? We have a Mishnah, which is Stam. It tells me one case, the Tanakhama, and Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Tanakhama, in terms of the height of the Mavoi, in terms of the height of the Korah in the Mavoi. And then it seemingly tells me a few other Psulim, or ways to fix other Psulim, in a Mavoi. And what do we see from the Gemara on Beis Mabez? That it's not so simple, in fact. Rabbi Yehuda argues on the very next one, the width of the Mavoi. He argues over there. He says it could be wider than 10 amos. Because after all, the Gemara is saying, at this point, he's learning from the Ula. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda argues in the version of Raisa, the Mishnah didn't mention a word of this, shouldn't we start to question our assumption now? Maybe it's not so simple. Oh, you told me. Damn, not a good point. The Diaz of the Mishnah sounds like nobody argues on those other three cases. But I have a Gemara in Erevin which says, that's not a good deal. Just because Rabbi Yehuda argued on case A, but he doesn't explicitly in the Mishnah argue on case B, doesn't mean I can assume Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue. So that's something we have to ask ourselves. Based on this Gemara in Erevin, this assumption of the Rishonim doesn't seem valid. Another question on this assumption of the Rishonim. Don't worry, we're going to explain why they have this as an assumption. But I want you to see that it's not such a simple assumption. That Gemara in Erevin makes it pretty clear that, at least on one level, you can't just assume from a Stam Mishnah not mentioning the Machlokas that there's no Machlokas. I'll bring you one that you guys could have thought of on your own. I didn't expect you to know Erevin. I put it on the Marmar Komos, but if you didn't get a chance to look at it, then that's okay. But what about in Maseches Sukkah? What else does our Mishnah tell us, guys? What are the other psulim? Psul number 1, over 20 amos. Psul number 2, under 10 tefachim. Psul number 3, what was psul number 3? If it has less than 3 walls. Implying what? As long as it has 3 walls, it's kosher, right? Whoa. Is that true? It's true according to somebody. But it's not true according to everybody. The next case in our Mishnah, somebody argues on. Rabbi Shimon, Bava with Beis. The Gemara says, Brisa tells us that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim over what is the minimum number of walls a sukkah needs to have. Chachamim say, two walls, tehillchasan, and a wall, which is a tefach. Rabbi Shimon says, 3 full walls and another 4th wall, which is a tefach. And the Gemara gives 5 different explanations. You guys are recently there in Bakias. Gemara gives 5 fantastic explanations as to why they argue. But what nobody disputes is that they argue. Right? There's a brisa. They argue. Why do they argue? That's the Gemara's discussion. But they argue. And yet our Mishnah said a rule, seemingly unequivocally, it needs to have 3 walls. If it doesn't have 3 walls, it's possible. Implication being, if it has 3 walls, it's kosher. But is that so simple? Oh, very good. So Ari might already be going on to defend the Rishonim. But at least before we, start answering it, I want to note that, again, this assumption is not so simple. That, just because nobody argued in our Mishnah explicitly, that means nobody argued. First of all, in Erevin, you see that even Rabbi Yehuda himself argued on another one of those dinim. And even though his name was mentioned a second before, why didn't the Gemara also say, again, that Rabbi Yehuda says it can't be, that it could be wider, than 10 amos? Oh, that's okay, he argued in the Bryce, and who did when he did it in the Mishnah, he meant it like this. Okay, whoa. That's not so simple anymore, our assumption. And another point, from our very Masechta, you see that the third point in our Mishnah, about the idea of having 3 walls, implying that if you don't have 3, the Mishnah explicitly says if you don't have 3 walls, it's possible, implying that if you do have 3 walls, and just 3 walls, seemingly, then that is kosher. So again, our initial gut assumption that nobody argues on these other 3 psalm in the Mishnah, something which we really have to question. So now let's try to defend these two, because as I told you, many Rishonim all say that, yeah, everybody agrees, right, to these other things, to these other components of the Mishnah. So how can we defend them? Just in terms of the Gemara and Erevin, I thought you could say a couple of things, but the one that I think the best, and that's the only one I'll mention, for the sake of time, I want to move on, but I thought the best one that you could say is actually a dia from our very Gemara on Heyom and Beis in Sukkah as well. Right? I'm testing your Bechias knowledge, guys. On Heyom and Beis, the Gemara says, fantastic, you have now proved to me how, according to Rebbe Meir, I know that a Sukkah needs to have 10 tefachim of height. If it doesn't, it's possible. But according to Mr. X, I don't know yet that I need to have 10 tefachim of height. And the Gemara assumes that Mr. X agrees that you need to have 10 tefachim of height. So you see already at this point in the Gemara is assuming that we have to solve it for Rebbe Yehuda. Why doesn't the Gemara say, Rebbe Yehuda argued in terms of the overall being too high of a sukkah? Rebbe Yehuda argues on the minimum of the sukkah. He thinks it's an 11.5 tefachim, as the Gemara could have said. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara tries to make Rebbe Yehuda work with the Mishnah. So you can say, because it didn't want to make him a focus. But I think you already see from here that it's assumed, even if it's not all that's known, it's at least assumed that Rebbe Yehuda himself will agree to the other rules of the Mishnah. Even though the Gemara and Erevin said it's possible he could have argued, at least our Gemara here is assuming that Rabbi Yehuda agreed to the other components of our mission. And that's why I had asked us a question. What about Rabbi Yehuda? How's Rabbi Yehuda going to have to do it? And eventually he has to draw an halakhic machine. Good. So I think that solves the question in terms of Rabbi Yehuda himself and in Erevin, that Gemara, even though that Gemara said you could say this, you don't have to say it, and maybe our diak in the mission is still more correct. And as for the Rabbi Shimon thing, I think Ari might be on to something. I think that you could say Rabbi Shimon doesn't necessarily argue on our Mishnah. We have the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you need 3 walls. Less than 3 walls is bad. And then a Braisa comes along on Vavim and Beis and tells us what? As Ari said, it tells us, well, how do you understand what it means to have 3 walls? Chachamim hold. It doesn't really mean 3 full walls. It means 2 full walls plus a tefach wall. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the Mishnah meant 3 real walls. And then the Mishnah left out. The Mishnah doesn't mean to say a diok that, oh, and if it doesn't have 3 walls, then it's, as long as it has 3 walls, it's totally fine. It meant 3 real walls, then it's fine. As long as you also have a tefach. So I think you could evade that point as well. And in fact, I think you could rest pretty comfortably with the assumption of many of the Rishonim that nobody argues on these other, none of the Tanam argue on these other 3 points of the Mishnah. Okay? I think that makes a lot of sense, but I wanted to show you that an assumption which Daniel made, which I made, which the Rishonim made, which is indeed a good assumption, isn't as simple as you might have thought. You read the Mishnah, you think, oh, everybody agrees on these ones. But after checking a few things, we saw that it's not so simple. Now we've figured out a way to make it work.
Explain Rishonim one more time.
Explain which one?
Rishonim.
Maybe Shimon. So I think you could say like this. The Mishnah says, if it has less than 3 walls, it's puzzle. But what did the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah said less than 3 walls? So I think Ari's right that if you look at that Braisa on Vav Amud Beis, the Braisa is basically explaining what is that minimum requirement for the Mishnah. Now, the Braisa is not on the Mishnah. I'm saying that the way you can understand the Braisa is that the Braisa is working off the Mishnah and explaining what the Mishnah really meant.
The definition of 3 walls.
Exactly. What do I mean that if it has less than 3 walls? So the Rabbanan say less than 3 total walls. 2 real walls, a tefach wall. That's 2 plus 1 is 3. Rabbi Shimon says less than 3 real walls is what the Mishnah meant. Meaning you need 3 real walls and you also need a tefach wall. I think that that's a fair read. I mean,
less than 3 real.
Correct. So the diet might be, if I have 3 walls, now fine. But that's not correct. If I have 3 full walls, that's all the full walls I need. That's what Rabbi Shimon would say the Mishnah is teaching. If I have 3 full walls, that's the full number of walls. That tefach wall isn't really a wall. I know it has the status of a wall, and it works as a wall. But meaning, in terms of real walls, when I said I need 3 walls, I didn't mean 3 total walls. I meant 3 real walls. Less than 3 real walls, Rabbi Shimon agrees. It's possible. Go for it.
Zion Olive is basically just trying to make that tefach into a real wall. That's how we possibly...
Okay, so Zion Olive is a world unto itself. I'd love to explore it. Amir Hashem, as you guys get to Rav Zera, then I'll get to pick up Rav Zera, and we'll talk a little bit about... It's not really Rav Zera. Vav Amaze is what I meant to say. Vav Amaze, I can't wait to talk about Rav Zera for. And later in the year, hopefully, we'll get a chance to talk about Zion. Zion is loaded with Ian, but I'm restricted. Hands are tied for now. We're waiting until you guys get there. Okay? So I don't want to get into Zion. So now let's work with our assumption. Okay? We now have a good assumption. Does Kuli Alma agree to the rest of our Mishnah? Right? So we had 2 options. We either had yes or no. Right? We saw no is not the way that the Rishonim go. And instead, they say yes. Now that we have the assumption that everybody agrees to the other 3 points of our Mishnah, a question arises, which the Rishonim are going to have to deal with, and that's what I want to focus on for this Kabur tonight. Okay? What question is going to arise? If so, does that mean, off of the 4th psul mentioned in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you need sail? Think about it. What is the 4th potential psul in our Mishnah? If you have more chama than sail, you have more sunlight than shade, the sukkah is pasul. Sukkah's pasul, that's explicit in the Mishnah. However, we know off of Rabbi Zeira's explanation of the Gemara, in terms of not whether we pasul like Rabbi Zeira or not, but Rabbi Zeira teaches us something in Metzius, in terms of the physical reality, and this I don't think anybody argues on. And that is, if you have schach over 20 amos tall, that schach won't be providing any shade into the sukkah itself. Instead, where will the shade for the sukkah itself be coming from? From the walls. And if you got rid of the walls, you still wouldn't have shade from the sukkah. Now, the question is, if that's true in Metzius, right? That's true. tzlach is over 20 amos tall, it won't provide shade for the sukkah. Well then, hold on. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to have tzlach, which is over 20 amos tall, which basically is insane. You don't need any sail to be in the sukkah, right? Because if the... I just told you the reality is that tzlach over 20 amos does not provide shade for the sukkah. And I know that Rabbi Yehuda, from Clause 1 of our Mishnah, holds that you can have a sukkah have tzlach over 20 amos. At which point, basically, that translates to... One second. That translates to... Rabbi Yehuda does not need there to be shade in the sukkah. Hold on. I thought we just established that everybody agrees that you need these three final points of the Mishnah. I mean, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that I need more shade than sun. Seems like we have a contradiction here. On one hand, in reality, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need you to have any shade. And yet on the other hand, if we're going to assume, as we've proven the Rishonim do say, and it makes sense now, that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to this idea that you need shade, more shade than sunlight, so we're going to have to understand then how it is that Rabbi Yehuda can both hold that I don't need shade to be in the sukkah, and yet he also seemingly needs more shade than sunlight. That is confusing. Go for it, Alan.
This is a much more complicated topic than making it, but all the Mishnah says is that more sunlight than shade is possible.
Okay, good.
So, Rabbi Yehuda, if it's above 3 hours, it's not going to be more sunlight than shade. It's going to be all shade technically.
Would it be? Let's say I had 10 tefach. Let's say I had 10 tefach walls. I have poles going all the way up. I use good asik to finish up those walls. I've got tons of sunlight. My whole sukkah is flooded with sunlight. I have really no shade. What about that, Al? Seemingly, Rabbi Yehuda said we have to cut your sukkah. And yet, I got no shade. So what happened to the idea of needing more shade than sun? What happened to that? Rabbi Yehuda is in a pickle. And you know what? It gets even worse. Let's say, according to Rabba, according to the way Rabbi Yoshi explains Rabba, okay? Which means that as long as you have walls going up to the sukkah, above 20 amos is not a problem. You can have a 100 amma tall sukkah. If you have walls reaching the sukkah, it's kosher. Wait a second. Even according to the Chachamim, you're telling me now that even the Chachamim don't actually need there to be shade coming from the sukkah into the sukkah? Because again, over 20 amos tall doesn't need shade. This is even a better question. Forget the assumption of the Rishonim. Just take the Chachamim themselves. Just take the Chachamim from the first part of the Mishnah. According to Rabba's Chachamim, it's quite possible to have a sukkah which has tzlach way high up to the point where they're not providing any shade, as long as you have the walls to reach them, right? Then it's totally fine. And yet, I'm not having any shade in my sukkah right now. How come those Chachamim, Rabba's Chachamim, would agree that in that case, that's a good sukkah, even if I don't have more tzel than the chama? Go for it.
Yeah, so the basement offers the three machlokas.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Zahir is the only one who needs tzel from the schach.
Good.
Seemingly. So according to everyone else, obviously you don't, even according to Rabbi, obviously you don't need that.
That's exactly the question I'm trying to push. Because it would seem like Rabbi Yehuda and the other opinions don't need there to be tzel.
No,
and
assuming,
yet don't they agree to the Mishnah? The Mishnah said I need more tzel.
From the fact that Rabbi Zahir says you need tzel from the schach, thereby everyone else is saying, they get rid of it. So then everyone else saying, no, we don't need tzel from the schach. So as long as the bottom is covered in shade.
Okay, good. So let's say you're basically saying that according to what I just asked about Rabba, there would still be shade being provided from by the walls, right? But let's say, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, if I was talking about where the walls did not reach the schach, let's say where I had a 10 tefach wall and then pole going up again holding it up, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's still a question. So you're at least agreeing to that.
I mean, I can't answer because we just shared it.
Why would that be kosher? Okay, fine. That would be a big cut. Maybe that would be true that Rabbi Yehuda would say that that's not kosher because it doesn't know with the Mishnah. That's just a very big kiddush because we haven't heard of this ever before. It seems unlikely. Meaning, basically, there's this new din which limits the scope of what's a kosher sukkah, and nobody said anything about it. So you might be right, Alec, but I think that that's a far stretch.
Why are you valuing the part of the Rabbi Yehuda Machshir so much more? Hakam has to be a balance trick.
I have the Mishnah, and the implications of the Mishnah are pretty clear. And the Rishonim are assuming that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Mishnah. So right now, I'm stuck. Rabbi Yehuda basically would say that there's no shade in the sukkah, and yet he says that you need more shade than sunlight. As opposed to making up a new din, which isn't anywhere, but might be true, but that's a big thing. Go for it.
Why do we assume that Chatham Rabbatzalda means shade in the sukkah? If you assume that, then they were stuck. If you assume something else.
Good. Good. So Mendel's on the right track. I want to talk about different opinions right now, okay? So let's start talking about different opinions in the region. I wanted to make this one a shorter kabura, guys, so I'm going to do my best to do so. Okay, I want to talk about three opinions. Rashi on the Mishnah says that Shechamasa Meruba made Selasa. Rashi says, what does that mean? Hamuat Batal Barov. Sarehu Kami She'eno. What happens? The minimum amount is nullified in the larger amount, the minority in the majority, and therefore is it if it doesn't exist. Val Shem Asach Kriyasuk. And then Rashi throws in something else. Rashi says, and since the sukkah is only called a sukkah based off of the svach, then something. Okay, what's going on here in this Rashi? What's Rashi doing? The Ron quotes this Rashi, right? The Ron says, there are those that understood Rashi in the following fashion. They understood that Rashi was saying that if you have more sunlight than shade, it's as if you have no svach at all, right? Because that's what Rashi sounds like. Rashi says, Bare hu kamish eno. And it's as if it's not there. What is the who? It sounds like the svach is not there. The schach is nullified in the sunlight, and it ceases to exist. Batel barov is gone. That's how some explain Rashi. The Ron is going to reject this. But who are those some? Who says that? Who is the one that explains Rashi in this fashion? So there are those that think that it is none other than our dear friend, the Rimilonial. The same dear pal we had from the last supper. What did the Rimilonial say? V'shachamasa meruba mitzalasa psula? How does the Rimilonial explain that? Debatol hamiyat berov. The miyat is nullified in the rov. Benimsa she'ein la. What would you expect him to say if you're going to give the Ron's shot? Sale. But instead he says she'ein la schach klal. The miyat is batol berov, and it turns out that there's no schach whatsoever.
Not sale.
Not sale. He says schach, which sounds like. Inside, if you don't believe me,
I believe you.
Right there, schach. So what's schach? It sounds like the Rimi O'Neill is that one who the Ron was shooting down. It sounds like the Rimi O'Neill thinks that the way the Bittul Barov here is working, or maybe he's off of Rashi, is that the schach ceases to exist. You have no schach, and that's why Rashi then throws in that extra line. But al shem aschach, nikra sukkah, right? That or whatever. I didn't quote it exactly. Right? The al shem aschach kriya sukkah, right? And because of the schach, that's why it's called sukkah. If you have no schach, then you have no sukkah. Great, that's shot in this. So it sounds like that's the Rimi O'Neill's shot. The Ron says that's totally wrong. And in fact, by the way, you can still defend the Rimi O'Neill, as we'll get to shortly. The Rimi O'Neill might not have been this age before. Okay, but what does the Ron say shot is? What is Rashi trying to do? Based off of the Gemara later on, the Gemara tells us that our Mishnah, based off of another Mishnah, seemingly our contradiction, which one are we talking about? The top of the sukkah or the shade actually on the floor. When we say Hamasa Merubim et Salasa and the reverse in the Mishnah later on, that Salasa needs to be more than the Hamasa. The opposite implications from either of these two Mishnahs are what about that middle case when they're exactly even? One Mishnah says Pasul, one Mishnah implies Kasher, right? So those are the opposite implications. That's a problem. So the way the Gemara solves this, I think it's on Chafez Mabez, right? The Chabal Mabez, something like that. Chafez Mabez. Good. So yeah, Chafez Mabez, very good, Mendel. So what's the point? The Gemara explains, oh, it's a difference between what's on top, what's on the bottom. So now, the way that we explain this is that the Mishnah over here is talking about having shade, which is more than the it's talking about having sunlight, which is more than the shade on the ground. Because when the sunlight is more than the shade on the ground, that implies that on top they are even, and therefore won't be more shade than sunlight. And accordingly, Rashi is using the rules of Bittul Barov, because on the floor now we have a majority of sunlight, not shade, and that majority of sunlight will nullify the shade on the ground, and we have no shade practically on the ground. Question for you. Question. Why did Rashi have to draw on this interesting rule of Bittul Barov, of nullifying something into nothing? V'harei kamisha eino. It's as if it's non-existent. I'll ask you a different question. Why didn't Rashi just say, and now I have more sunlight than shade, and that's not good enough. I need there to be more shade than sun, and until I have more shade than sun, I don't have a good roof. I don't have a valid roof. Instead, Rashi gets onto this complicated rule. In halacha, we view things that are nullified as a minority. In a majority, we view them as if they don't exist. Why do I need that? Why don't I just say I don't have enough shade? Why do I have to say I have zero shade? The implication from Rashi, therefore, is that apparently, in order to have a valid sukkah, I have to have at least some shade in the sukkah. I don't need a lot. I don't need a significant amount. I just need something. I just need a tiny drop. However, in halacha, small things become nullified in larger things, and they are kamish anal. They're as if they don't exist. Accordingly, if I use the rules of bittul, even though I might have 40% of shade on the floor of the sukkah right now, right? I have 60% sunlight, 40% shade. Do I have any shade? Using the rules of bittul,
no.
It's as if I have zero. But let's imagine a case where, for whatever reason, I had 1% of shade on the floor. And for whatever reason, it didn't get nullified. Would Rashi say that's a kosher sukkah? Would the Ron say it's a kosher sukkah? Why yes, why no?
No.
Why not?
Rashi wants you to have rov tzel in sukkah.
Do I need rov tzel or go for it?
It's like a mind, it's a mission of spooning. It's a mission of spooning.
Why?
It's exactly even.
Okay, good.
So assume the sale is even also.
Okay.
So it's not, nothing was, no, they assume the sale is actually more of the spooning for whatever reason.
Okay.
But the point is no. Why sale isn't about the sale. Why would sale be about the sale?
Good. So if sale is not about the sale, then what would you assume? For whatever reason, let's say I have 1% of sale. Is it kosher according to Rashi?
Yeah.
Yes. And that's why he needs to get onto the rule of bittul baruch. Because let's now understand why Rashi might have said, al shem haschach kriya sukkah. What is that extra line in Rashi doing? He's saying that if you have a roof and it doesn't provide any shade, conceptually it provides no shade. I know it might physically have some shade on the floor, but it conceptually provides no shade. That's not a roof. You can call it a roof. You can pretend it's a roof. But it's not a roof. If it provides zero shade, it's not a roof. Accordingly, you lose the shame schach. Accordingly, the Mishnah is telling us that the sukkah itself unravels. Without the schach, with zero schach, you have zero sukkah. And the whole thing breaks down. That's what Rashi is alluding to here. And thus, we can now use this to explain what the deal is with Rabbi Yehuda. If I have a sukkah, which is over 20 amos tall, aren't I not getting shade at this point? And yet, Rabbi Yehuda says that I need shade. I need there to be tzelasa merubah mekalbasa. So how do I understand that? So the answer is that it will still, perhaps, provide... I should say, Rabbi Yehuda holds that while I might not need there to be shade of a large degree in my sukkah, in fact, a lot of it could be over on the side, I still need there to be some degree of shade right now being provided for my stuff in order for it to be considered a valid roof. If the roof doesn't provide shade, it loses its capacity to be a roof. Right? That's what we just explained. It's not a roof if it doesn't provide shade. Now, does it matter where it provides shade? No. Let's say the shade is out off to the side. Is it still a roof? Yeah, it might not be a roof for the part that is directly over, but it's a roof for something. Is it still called a roof? Yes. As long as it doesn't have more sunlight that it's providing than shade, and therefore nullifying the shade in it, as long as it provides some shade that doesn't get conceptually nullified, it's considered a roof. And that is why Rabbi Yehuda would say, even though I permit a sukkah to be very, very high, as long as that area of the sukkah is able to provide shade that doesn't get nullified, which is in the wrong place, but it doesn't get nullified, then it is a kosher sukkah. Do you guys understand? You're with me? Understand? If it doesn't provide any shade, it's not called sukkah. As long as it provides shade that doesn't get conceptually nullified to zero, as long as it exists to some degree, the Ran, explaining Rashi, understand that it's a valid roof, it's called sukkah, and therefore you have a good sukkah.
How does that work with batel? You said before the batel means that it's minority, then it's...
Because it's not a minority. It might be the majority. It's just the majority is not hitting the right spot. The majority is hitting all the way up to the side.
So minority is in... A minority is talking about the actual mechitza.
No, I'm talking about the shade on the ground.
When Rashi says batel over here, he's talking about...
Batel, Rashi's talking about on the floor. That it's batel on the floor.
Yeah, you just said that if there's a little bit of shade on the ground, it counts. That's not batel.
I was saying that if it, as long as some shade doesn't get nullified, then it's considered a valid ruling. As long as some shade exists. And in this case, the shade will still exist. Because even if it's high, it will still be providing, let's assume, more shade than sunlight. So I know Alec has a question on this shot, but I want to move on. Okay, so this might not work out absolutely perfectly, but this seems to be how to understand Rashi and the Ran. Let me move on to other two shitas with the tiny amount of time I have left. Okay? So now the Ra'ah and the Ritva, I think, are a very different camp. Okay? The Ra'ah being the Rebbe of the Ritva. We'll read the Ritva first. The Ritva understands asking this question a little bit differently. Okay? The Ritva says the following. The Ritva says, after asking this question, Yesh Lomar, Jinehid Elo Ba Yerbi Yehuda Sheheya Schach Oset Sel Kimoshe Hu Achshav. The Yehuda doesn't need the Schach to provide shade as it is right now. However, Mikomakum Ba Yehuda Roi Lahaseh Ula Sos Sel. It's thus to be fit. It has to be able to provide shade. Because otherwise, it's not called stuff at all. Since it's so thin that it's not able to make any shade, it's not provided shade, it's not capable of providing shade, that is, that's the right shot. So what does the Ritva tell us, the explanation of how to understand how Rabbi Yehuda could both not care whether there's shade in the sukkah, and yet clearly care that there's shade in the sukkah, that he needs more tzel than chama? What's shot? The Ritva tells us? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need there right now to be shade provided from the stach. You're right. Over 20 amos, that shade is who knows where. Or it's not even providing shade. Maybe the shade gets so diluted at this point when it's so high up is that it is not considered shade. It will lose, that aspect. However, I still need it to be capable of providing more shade than sunlight. That is to say, if I were to conceptually pretend it was moved into the right location, right, I have a nice thick stock. However, it's 400 amos into the air. So right now, is it providing any shade? Nope. Maybe all the way off to the side, or maybe not even at all. It's not doing any shade. However, let's say I moved this nice thick stock down into 10 amos territory, 10 amos off the ground, 12 amos off the ground, 15 amos off the ground. What would happen in that case? Would it provide shade? Yes. So while Rabbi Yehuda, according to Ritva, doesn't need there to be shade right now, it has to be able to right now provide shade as long as I moved it into the right location. If I could hypothetically move it in my mind's eye, instead of being 400 amos tall, not alter the stuff, just move its location, not make it thicker or less thick, but rather just change the location and bring it down within the 20 amos range, wouldn't that provide shade? Yes, that's all Rabbi Yehuda needs. That's the Ritva's thing. If it doesn't have that capacity, let's say it's too thinned out, that even within 20 amos it wouldn't have provided shade, then it loses its shame stock and is not considered good. So what's the Ritva and what's the Ran? We already explained. Ran/Rashi, how do they understand? What do I need, according to Rabbi Yehuda? I need it to provide, right now,
actual
shade. How much? Not a significant amount. Even a tiny drop. As long as that tiny drop doesn't get nullified.
Just here for that.
Even 1%.
It also says on base.
Oh, very good. Hold on 1 second. Mendel, you're hitting it on the head. Okay, but let's wait 1 second. So, what do I need? Any amount. Any tiny amount. That's what the Ron holds. As long as it doesn't get nullified, that's
the implication. Tiny amount get nullified?
As long as you would set up a scenario where it wouldn't get nullified, then it would be fine. Okay? Let's pretend you can work it out. For example, shade being a bottle shade. Let's say I had lots of puzzle stock. Let's say I had 30% puzzle stock, and 30% avir, and 40% kosher stock. So in that case, let's say those two wouldn't combine. The puzzle stock and the avir. Let's say they don't combine to nullify because it's 30% and 30% against the 40%. Those two 30% of different types can't combine to nullify, let's say, the valid 40%. So it's not nullified, but it doesn't have most of it. Right? It's only 40% of the overall sukkah is being provided shade from a valid stock, and yet it's not nullified. Accordingly, it might be that in that case, the Ran would permit such a sukkah.
According to Ran and Rashi, it was avir and kosher schach, and there was a tiny bit of schach.
But then if it's too small, it'll be nullified. I'm talking about a case where it's not nullified.
Fine.
Okay, so the Ran needs a tiny drop that's not nullified, providing shade right now. The Ritva thinks, no.
Potential.
I don't need it to be providing any shade right now. I just need it to be providing shade hypothetically, if I were to move it into the right location. But how much shade? Any tiny drop? Doesn't sound like it.
Meruba,
I need a significant amount. I need a lot, as the Mishnah sounds. I need a lot of shade. That's what will make it be valid.
50 from the stock.
Would it have to be 50 from the stock? What do you mean? As opposed to?
It says it has to be fitting to get 50% sale if I move it down, or just fitting to give any sort of sale?
I think you would need a significant amount, which happens to be defined by the majority. We need 51%, I think. I think that's what he means.
So according to Riffa, makes more sense.
Whoa, one second. We're not talking yet about who makes more sense yet, okay? But we understand that the Riffa is very different than the Ron, right? The Ron basically only needs a tiny drop, but he needs that tiny drop now. The Riffa thinks, I don't need it right now. I need it to hypothetically be true if I were to move it into the right location. But how much does he need? Just a tiny drop? No, he needs a lot. Okay? Worlds apart, I think. Although some people say that they're the same thing. I don't think they're the same thing, okay? Now, I mean, I biased you. I want you to look at it and then think about it, okay? Now, the Ra'ah, who the Ritva ostensibly was coming off of, I think is a third approach, a different one, okay? And I think the Ra'ah says the following. If you make a diak in his words, you don't have to, and maybe the Ra'ah and the Ritva are really the same, but I think that the Ra'ah is a little bit different. And that is, the Ra'ah believes that you don't need sail under the Schach, but you do need sail right now. Meaning to say, in order for this to be called a roof, what does it need to do? It has to provide shade. Hypothetically provide shade? Give me a break. No, right now it provides shade. The question is where? If it's very, very high up, then it will still provide shade, just not under it. Because of the angles, it will be all the way off to the side, away from the sukkah. But is it providing shade? Yes. And how much? Does the Ra'ah think that you can only have a little tiny drop? No, he doesn't mention the idea of bittul at all. Instead, he thinks that you need to have a significant amount, similar to the Ritva, but not the same. Why are the Ra'ah and the Ritva different, in my opinion? The Ritva thinks that you need it to be a significant amount of shade, but not right now. As long as I would adjust it into the right location, could it provide a significant amount of shade? Yes, then it's good to go. And that's how you understand Rabbi Yehuda requiring more sail than Chama, even though he doesn't actually need it to provide shade. For example, he allows it to be way over 20. What did the Ra'ah hold? Something I think different. The Ra'ah says that I need a significant amount of shade, but not just hypothetically. I need it right now. I need there to be real shade. Now is there shade being provided?
So one stick is enough?
Not one stick.
Why they provide shade?
No, it's still providing shade. I need a significant amount. I need 51% of shade. But where? Directly under the schach? No. All the way all 100 miles to the right. If I have really, really tall stock, where's that shade going to be? Not under it. If you stand under it, it'll still be hot.
So wherever the shade goes is 50%.
Exactly. Exactly. The Ra'ah thinks, I can't pretend, if I move this stock. No, that's not going to fly. That wouldn't be good enough. Rather, I need to be providing real shade right now. Just where? In order for it not to lose its shame roof, for it not to lose its shame stock, it has to be providing shade. But where? A significant amount. But anywhere. That's the difference between the Ra'ah and the Ritva. You want a nafkamina to help you illustrate this? I don't know that this is true, but I think it might be. I think this makes a lot of sense. Okay, you ready? Here's a good way to illustrate what I think the difference is between the Ra'ah and the Ritva. Imagine you have a sukkah that's built like this. You have nice wooden beams that are all going to be, or bamboo, whatever it is going to be. They're going to be nice slats of stuff. And how is it situated? You have it like this at an angle. And next to it, that same parallel angle. And another parallel angle, another angle, another angle, another angle, another angle, right? So you've got a lot of stuff, maybe like really a decent amount of boards. And they're kosher. But they're all at an angle. And there's a space between them. What happens when the sunlight is all the way, in the way I just put my hands, on the right side? You've got tons of shade. Tons of shade, right? Because all those slats are properly angled against the sun. The stuff is providing, let's say, 80% shade. It's doing wonderfully. But let's say, and everybody would think that that's kosher, but let's say now you've got the sun on this side, on the left side now. What would happen there? Since they're angled at that unfortunate angle, what will happen? You'll have a sukkah streaming with sunlight because they're only thin and they're only angled this way. When they're angled this way, their fat surface is blocking the sunlight. When the sun's over here, they're barely doing any protection. Let's pretend they only provided 30% of shade. I'm just making up numbers to illustrate the point. In such a case, at that moment, when there's way more sunlight than shade, is it a valid sukkah? So now you could argue on it. You and you could tell me, no, that's not a good case, because maybe as long as at some point during the day it could be providing a lot of shade, and it's valid, so then I don't care whether actually right now it's providing shade. Okay, so you could argue on it. But I'm just trying to illustrate the difference between the Ritva and the Ra'ah.
The Ra'ah required walls to be
Not in the sukkah, but the ru'ah requires that it provide shade right now.
The ru'ah requires that there is shade in the sukkah, just it doesn't need to be the spa.
No, not, well, he doesn't provide, the ru'ah doesn't need there to be any shade in the sukkah right now. That's why I want to, let me help clarify, Ari. That's why I want to use this example to illustrate, and this will end. Right? But I want to use this example to illustrate the difference between the ru'ah and the ru'ah. In that, if you have the sun over there, where it's only providing, let's say, 30% of shade, what would they each hold? The ritva holds that it would be kosher. Why? Because the ritva doesn't need any shade right now. The ritva could say, I don't care if it's providing any shade right now. As long as it's capable of providing shade, it's considered a ritva. As long as, if I were to angle it properly, if I were to change the location, then it would be valid.
Some potential.
So since here, in potential, in this schach, all I would have to do is just flip it around. Not adjust it, not add more schach. No, nothing cheating. Just change its location. If I were to change its location and spin it the other way around, would it provide shade? Yeah, would it provide a ton of shade? And therefore, the ritva might permit such a roof. It has the same roof. It's still called the schach. As opposed to the ra'ah. Because right now, ra'ah, I don't care that it's capable of providing shade. Right now, is it providing shade under the sukkah? No. Even out of the sukkah? No! Because the sun's at the terrible angle where it's barely able to provide any shade. And the ra'ah would therefore say, is it providing a significant amount of shade right now? Nope. It is not. And therefore, I think a difference between them might be this. Now, again, to summarize everything that we said, we've shown that the Rishonim all assume that the other Tanam agree to these other three psalm in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda included. If so, according to Rabbi Yehuda's Metzias, as established by Rabbi Zeira, if you have schach over 20 amos tall, it won't provide shade under the sukkah. The question is, if Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the fourth point in our Mishnah, that you need more shade than sunlight, how could Rabbi Yehuda permit a sukkah that's over 20 amos, which is clearly not providing more shade than sunlight in this sukkah? We had three different approaches. There's the Rashi Ran approach, maybe a fourth, the Rimei O'Neil, which I really think you can solve and make with Rashi, but I'm out of time. We have three different approaches. What does the Ran and Rashi hold? They hold you need to have at least a little bit of shade. Just a tiny drop. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. As long as it provides a tiny drop that survives, it doesn't get nullified, and it's providing it right now, then it's considered valid schach. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda requires. As long as it's capable of providing that much shade. But Rabbi Yehuda agrees that even if it's over 20, as long as it's providing a little bit, then that's good. It's not nullified shade, it's a valid schach. According to the Ritva, I don't need it to provide any shade right now. I need it to be capable of providing shade, as long as I put it in the right location. If it's not capable of providing a significant amount, not just a tiny drop, but a significant amount of shade, then it's not a valid roof. But if it is capable of providing it, even if right now it's not providing it at all, it's considered if it's capable, then it's valid. If it's incapable, it's not valid. And the Ra'ah, finally, to conclude my summary, and then we'll end. If anybody has questions, ask me afterwards. The Ra'ah's point is that I need it to provide shade right now. Not just conceptually it could, if I adjusted it right. No adjusting. Does it provide shade? I need it to provide shade right now. And just a little bit of shade, like Rashi Ran? No. A lot of shade, like the Ritva. It needs to provide a significant amount of shade. But he's different than the Ritva now, in that he says, I need it to provide shade right now, but I don't care if it's under the sukkah. And that's how Rabbi Yehuda
fits. It's kind of between the two of them, in a sense.
They're all different. Now, what I want to add is that they're different. He shares components. Each one of them shares components with the other one. I don't want to elaborate upon it now, because I'm already 10 minutes out of time. But with that, I'll end. I hope you guys have questions.